Welcome to Rare Disease Advisor's Rare Care Podcast, offering unique perspectives from researchers, clinicians, and influencers from the rare disease community.
Hello, and welcome to the Rare Care Podcast. This is Larry Luxner, Senior Correspondent for Rare Disease Advisor. Our guest today is Joyce Coleman, Executive Director of the Vasculitis Foundation, speaking to us from the Foundation's headquarters in Kansas City. Just a reminder that May is Vasculitis Awareness Month, and many activities are planned both online and in person. Joyce, thank you so much for joining our podcast.
Thank you for the invitation, Larry.
Sure. I think we should start with a short explanation of vasculitis itself, a general term that refers to inflammation of the blood vessels. So as I understand, vasculitis is actually a family of some 20 related diseases. Could you please elaborate?
Sure. Vasculitis, as you said, it does include about 20 plus vasculitides that affect different parts of the body. It's inflammation of the blood vessels. And so sometimes it affects the organs such as the kidneys, the lungs, the heart, the cardiovascular. It can also affect skin, dermatology issues, or eyes, sinuses. It really is a systemic disease.
What are the most common types of vasculitis and who tends to get the disease?
So vasculitis affects people of all ages. So we have some diseases that affect children, such as Kawasaki and Henoch-Schwann purpura, which is HSP. We also have vasculitides that affect people in their mid to 50s to 60s. Giant cell arteritis and polymyalgia rheumatica are two of the most common vasculitides, and they affect people over the age of 50. But then there's more common ones such as granulomatosis with polyangiitis, which is also very well known, although it's still a rare disease, which affects people of all ages, including children to elderly.
So vasculitis as a general umbrella term encompasses all these conditions. In total, how rare is vasculitis?
So all of the different forms of vasculitis are under the rare disease umbrella of less than 250,000 people diagnosed in the U.S. each year. They do believe that if vasculitis, if the different forms such as GCA, giant cell arteritis, was actually diagnosed correctly, that it wouldn't actually be a rare disease. There would be over the 250,000 cap. But many, many times vasculitis is misdiagnosed or undiagnosed.
And what about ANCA vasculitis?
ANCA vasculitis,
yes.
Which incorporates GPA, microscopic polyangiitis, and EGPA, you know, we don't have good numbers. They say one in 30,000, one in a million. They're all considered rare forms of vasculitis, but
right.
They're much more known than some of the really rare forms, such as cryoglobulinemia or Behçet's. Diagnosis depends on if you get to a clinician who can make a diagnosis, who recognizes the symptoms.
Right. And that's what we want to talk about in this podcast. So Joyce has been with the Vasculitis Foundation since 1995, first as a volunteer and then for the last 23 years as executive director. Among other things, she serves on the steering committee of the Vasculitis Clinical Research Consortium and also co-chairs the Rare Diseases Clinical Research Network Coalition of Patient Advocacy Groups, known as CPAG. And more than that, Joyce serves on the Vasculitis Patient-Powered Research Network, known as VPPRN. That's a lot of acronyms. Can you sort it all out for us?
Sure, Larry. And the good news is that I am retired from the co-chair position. But the VPPRN, the Vasculitis Patient-Powered Research Network, is a little over 10 years old, and it is considered the research network arm of the Vasculitis Foundation. It's an online platform, we have over 5,000 patients enrolled in. The patients complete online surveys. They submit their patient-reported outcomes every 6 months. We ask them to tell us how they're doing. Researchers can use the data to do their own research, and we're very proud of it. It's done a lot of great work, and we have ongoing studies. And with the VPPRN, our patients get to be part of the research. They're part of the answer. We need them to participate. As part of the VPPRN, we also have our pregnancy registry, where we enroll women who have vasculitis, who get pregnant. We follow them through their pregnancy and then postpartum after the pregnancy, hopefully is the baby's delivered. We follow them for about a year. And
I see.
We also are getting ready to launch our pediatric vasculitis registry, which will enroll children under the age of 18, which we don't have a pediatric registry, so we're very excited about that also.
So you joined the foundation 30 years ago as a volunteer. How did that start? What was your motivation?
So my dad was diagnosed with what was then called Wegener's granulomatosis, which is now known as GPA. He was diagnosed in 94 after about 11 months of being sick, getting continually more and more sick, and no one could figure out the diagnosis. And so 11 months into it, when he was, oh my gosh, he was almost on death's door, he saw a rheumatologist and she said, I think I know what you have. We're going to start treating you today. Fortunately, with Dr. Ann Warner, she saved his life.
What was the name of the doctor?
Dr. Ann Warner from St. Luke's here in Kansas City, Missouri. She's a rheumatologist. And she took care of, he lived for almost 24 years with GPA.
Amazing. You mentioned a registry for children with vasculitis. How rare is that?
We don't even know, Larry, because there's never been a registry. That's why we need one, because we don't have a way to track our children right now.
I see. So you said that you've retired from CPEG, but you continue with the committee of the Clinical Research Consortium.
Yes, the VCRC, it was formed in 2002. Through the Rare Diseases Clinical Research at the NIH, the National Institutes of Health. And that's an ongoing project. They've done great research. There's vasculitis centers around the country and internationally. One of the great passions of the VCRC is to train young fellows, to bring in fellows and train them at established vasculitis centers. And then, as we say, send them out into the world to create their own centers.
Wonderful. And can you talk about the VPPRN briefly? Explain a little about what this network is all about.
So the VPPRN is a coalition between, it's led by Dr. Peter Merkel, who is chief of rheumatology at the University of Penn in Philadelphia. We have a co-principal investigator, Dr. Jen Gordon, who is also a patient with EGPA. They lead the VPPRN, which does online research with over 5,000 patients worldwide. We do. We ask patients to participate by completing online surveys about their health. How are they feeling? They turn in their results every 6 months. And then we also do specific studies such as on fatigue or on bone health. Or we just launched a study recently on, it's called VSNIFF, S-N-I-F-F, and it's about the sinus area, how people breathe, and all the things that go along with that.
Very clever title for a sinus study, VSNIFF.
Yes, absolutely. It's probably one of the better names.
All told, the foundation, can you give us an idea how big the foundation is in terms of your size, your outreach, how many employees you have, what your annual budget is, some way to quantify?
So we have, we're at 10 employees as of this year. We have a budget over almost $2 million. We fund research every year. We fund two young investigator grants, and then we also fund fellows. And then we have our ongoing research studies around the world. We are an international organization. We have a very robust website, which brings us people from all over the world seeking information. We have educational materials in Spanish, English and Portuguese right now, and are working on developing in other languages also.
Wonderful.
But our goal is to reach patients wherever they are in the world.
What countries are you active outside the U.S.?
We're active across Europe, the U.K., Australia. We're just getting ready to co-host a conference in Australia next year in February in Melbourne. So we do have an international outreach.
Wonderful. So let's talk, if we could, briefly about May being Vasculitis Awareness Month. Every rare disease seems to have its awareness day or its month. What is special about May and what kind of activities are you planning this month?
Oh, gosh. So we chose May because we thought there weren't as many. We were trying to find a month where there weren't that many awareness activities, but it turns out that May is a very busy month for many different organizations. But the Vasculitis Awareness Month, it started as Vasculitis Awareness Day years ago, and then we expanded out to a week, and now we're at a month. And the goal of the month is just to raise awareness. We ask our community to do as much with us. It's a grassroots effort. We have a very robust calendar on our website where we encourage people to do different activities, such as share their story, just share their story with their family, their friends, their colleagues, But it's based around, we need to raise awareness of this disease because it's not well known in the general public or the medical community.
Why do you think that is?
You know, it's a rare disease. There's over 7,000 rare diseases. It just doesn't get the attention that it deserves.
I see. Are there any other organizations doing similar work as yours?
Not in the U.S., but we do partner around the world with many different organizations, smaller organizations that we partner with.
Are most of your activities this month online, or do you have anything planned in person?
So we just had a patient conference in Santa Monica, California, this past Saturday. That was a one-day regional educational conference. We had about 100 attendees come, and it was a day for education, for networking, just to be together. And then we'll have two more conferences later this year, one in New York City and one in Denver. Every year as part of Vasculitis Awareness Month, we have patients who share their stories through videos. And we have an amazing group this year of patients of all ages, from the youngest teenager to people in their 60s who are talking about their journey with vasculitis.
The last thing about clinical trials and research, we're very interested in that. Is there anything on the pipeline that we should know about?
I think we're all looking at the CAR T cell therapy trials that are starting in the autoimmune world. They started in cancer several years ago, and now they're moving into, they're studying lupus and myositis. They're looking at GPA and MPA, and we're very excited. There are several trials that have launched and many more to come.
What about gene therapy?
That's still on the horizon, I think.
Any final thoughts before we wrap up?
No, Larry, thank you for this opportunity. You know, vasculitis, there are 7,000 rare diseases, and we wish that all of them could get the attention that they need. Attention brings awareness, awareness brings diagnosis, and diagnosis brings effective treatment.
Absolutely. This is Larry Luxner for Rare Disease Advisor.
Be sure to follow the latest news, perspectives, and clinical resources on rare diseases at rarediseaseadvisor.com. Thank you for listening.